Amen. Well, we've sure enjoyed getting to be with you all today, and we've really just been blessed. Our hearts are full. Just thank you so much for having us. Thank you for allowing us to come and just be a part of it. What a privilege to get to help finish out your missions emphasis time, because truly, I mean, even as my wife's saying, we saw this morning, the need is great here and everywhere, and we're sure thankful the Lord has called us to go. But really, he's called all of us to go, just some across the ocean and some just, you know, right down the road. But the need is great all over the world. For tonight, we'll be in the book of Acts, chapter number 16 tonight. Book of Acts, chapter number 16 tonight. Always enjoy the opportunity to preach on the Apostle Paul. As a missionary, I sure feel spoiled getting to preach about the life of one of the greatest missionaries ever. They're the Apostle Paul. Passage certainly is not a foreign one to many of us, I'm sure, but still so much we can get from it in Acts chapter 16. We begin reading there in Acts chapter 16 in verse number 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out in the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, Well, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks." Quite a time in the life of Paul, being faithful to do what God had called him to do here on this missionary journey in Philippi, and being thrown into prison, a harsh circumstance that so many would have crumbled under or gotten angry or bitter or frustrated, but what an incredible miracle that can take place even in the harshest of times. Most tragic of times, the difficulty. But really from this passage, we just see how faithful our Lord is. And something that's so integral to all of this too is the compassion of the Apostle Paul. Do we have that compassion for the lost? Let's pray and we'll get into it tonight. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given today to meet so many of these wonderful people, get to know them just a little bit. Lord, pray now that you'd bless the message. Lord, help it to be your words and not mine. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And, we mentioned Acts 16, a very familiar chapter to many. So much really takes place in Acts chapter 16. By the time we arrive at our text, I mean, we've already seen the Macedonian call take place in the life of the Apostle Paul. He's been introduced to Timothy and Silas, two very important men in his life that would play a huge part in things going forward, and their second missionary journey has now begun. And they've been in the city of Philippi and already been there for some time. Back in verse number 14, they met a woman named Lydia and were introduced to her, and so many incredible things that God has been doing here in Philippi, seeing people saved, the church begun there in Lydia's home, and things were going very well. And it's typical when things were going really well for the Apostle Paul, that's when some difficulties started to show themselves along the way. There in verse number 16, where our text kind of began, we saw Paul and Silas, the group that was there. They were continuing to preach and to go to pray, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people there of Philippi. And this woman who is possessed with a spirit comes, and she's being really used, and we could even say abused by these men, using her to make money as a soothsayer, a fortune teller, this ability that's given to her through this demonic spirit. And really, this went on for some time. She would follow after Paul and Silas and talk to them, and Paul doesn't get angry at this woman. Now, really, his heart breaks for him. Verse 18, it says, "But Paul, being grieved, he turns and says to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." No matter how powerful Satan may think he is, he has nothing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's such an encouragement going even to Japan. I was sharing with a couple of young ladies that were looking at our table and have several pictures of shrines and temples that are wholly dedicated to demonic spirits that are there in Japan. It's a very real danger and threat, but the power of Christ, they have nothing on him. But nevertheless, her gainsayers were not too happy with this occasion, as now their get-rich-quick scheme is over. Their way of making money off of this lady has been taken away from them, and they're rather angry at Paul and Silas, and they catch them, they draw them to the marketplace, the center there of the city, under the different rulers and people, and begin accusing them of all these different things. These Jews, they're troubling our whole city. They're teaching these customs. They're teaching about Jesus Christ, all these things. It's illegal for them to do this. We're Romans. They can't be teaching us these things. They get everybody really riled up and angry at Paul and Silas, get them all against them, and they start beating them. They tear up their clothes and whip them, laid many stripes on their back, and they even have them cast into prison. And the charge is given to the jailer, the keeper of that prison, to keep watch over them, their hands and feet fastened in the stocks in the inner prison of Philippi. They were just doing what God wanted them to do. Just being faithful to preach, to pray, to cast out this evil spirit in the name of Christ, and they are thrown into prison after suffering beating, ridicule, the mockery of these people. So many of us would be so quick to be angry, frustrated, to give up or to quit. I think about a far less difficult circumstance in my own life where my children acted far more like the Apostle Paul than I was. We were there at the Heartland Baptist Bible College, kind of the graduation preaching week back in May. We went out to dinner with a pastor and we're out fairly late at night. We got back and it was about probably 11:40 or so to our hotel. And we went to put in the key to get into our room so we could all go to bed, and it didn't work. Uh-oh, all right, well, let me go get another key. Of course, we were the furthest room away, so my poor wife is outside with our two little ones freaking out and running in circles, and I have to run down, get a new key, come back, try this key. This key didn't work either. Uh-oh. So I called the maintenance guy, I told him what was going on, and explained, well, yeah, you know, when you put the key in, normally there's a red light if you put it in upside down or something. There was no light. He said, no light. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, what do you mean, uh-oh? Nevertheless, long story short, he had to come and cut the window out and break in to get our stuff out. We got put into a different room. It was a long night. But my kids, Jalen had just turned 3, or maybe wasn't even 3. It may have been 3 the next week. It was a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old at the time. They weren't angry or bitter. No, they were running in circles singing that they had the joy, 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 joy down in. I was not running in circles singing that. No, I was quite tired and grumpy and angry, but that's many of our responses to difficulties, circumstances, trials. Well, we'll see here in just a moment that Paul and Silas in verse 25 at midnight in prison after being beaten and sore. Can you imagine how cold it must have been down there? This wasn't a nice, comfortable place. The inner prison, the worst of the worst that Philippi had to offer for these men. Sore, clothes bloodstained and ripped apart, hands and feet fastened together. Late at night, they sing and they pray. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Where so many of us would be far more like me and have a response of, ugh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Paul and Silas in prison, after having been beaten and ripped apart, sing praises to God and pray because they knew that he's still just as worthy to be praised in prison as he was in the streets of Philippi. He's still the same God. It doesn't matter where they are. He's worthy. He's holy. He's faithful. He's with them just as much there as he was over here. They weren't going to let their circumstances affect their walk with God. I love the detail that the other prisoners, they heard them. I don't know if Paul was one of those talented preachers that can preach and sing, but that wasn't going to stop him. He was singing loud enough that all the other prisoners could hear these two crazy preachers in prison at midnight singing as loud as they could, that they had the joy, 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 joy down in their heart. Who are these guys? Can you imagine the other prisoners? What are they doing? Do they know what time it is? We're trying to get some sleep here. And it just so happens. Verse 26, that suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What a coincidence. It has nothing to do with the Lord watching over them, or that God is sovereign, and that he's very aware of where these men are at, and that he's faithful to provide for them and take care of them here. Just an accident there. Now, what an incredible moment of God's power, God's faithfulness here. The prison doors open, the shackles falling off their hands and feet. But what could be here a moment of great rejoicing, it's not one of rejoicing for everybody in that prison. Because in verse 27, we're shown that the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. Seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. While we see the sign of the story of Paul and Silas praying and singing, the Lord doing this great work, imagine the heartbreak of this prison keeper. I myself, I'm not spending time in the military or anything like that, but my understanding is if you're put on guard duty, you better not fall asleep. This man had. He'd been given a very specific duty. Even as far back as verse 23 and 24, when he was there with Paul and Silas, they'd given him the job to keep watch of this prison, the inner prison. It's his duty to watch these prisoners. And he failed. He fell asleep. When he wakes up and sees the doors are open, I mean, what prisoner stays in prison if the doors open? Thinks they're all gone. In his mind, he has failed not only himself, but he's failed his commanding officer who put him in charge of this, who trusted him with this, his fellow soldiers that have trusted him to do his job as they do theirs. He has a wife, family. In this culture there in Philippi, in this time period, he believes that the only path to redemption is to take his own life. And that's just what he's prepared to do. And this is where this passage has begun to hit home with me more and more, because the Japanese mindset would be the same. The consequence for failure is very, very high. Shared this morning in our video the statistics, the population of Japan and the suicide rates. So Japan has the highest suicide rate in the world. The vast majority of those suicides are for people 20 and under. The population of Japan at the time of making our video was 126 million, maybe 125 and some change, depending which website you clicked on. But these days, if you look into it, it's around 123. The suicides, the aging population of Japan, time and time again, the death counts every month is astronomical. Because it's people who, just like this man, they believe that that's the only choice that they have. They don't think that, I just made a mistake. Like, I got a speeding ticket, I'll pay my fine, and I'll move on. It's forgiven, forgotten about. It's not I made a mistake to them, it's I'm the mistake. They think the only way to get that mistake forgiven is to take the mistake away. And that's just what this man was prepared to do as he sees his failure and draws out his sword. But there is hope for him. Because in spite of his failure, he hears a voice of compassion that cries out to him through the darkness of that late prison night in Philippi. Because in verse 28 it says, "But Paul, cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Imagine how terrifying that must have been, thinking you're the only one left. Have you ever been in your home or maybe even the church here late at night? It's dark and you don't think anyone's here, and you maybe hear a noise or hear a voice. That'll spook you. That'll spook you. Well, he thought all the prisoners were gone. But he hears this voice, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." He calls for a line. He comes in trembling, falls down before them in disbelief, gets himself back up. He brings them out and he asks them the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." What an incredible, incredible moment. This man who was prepared to take his own life instead will get to go home tonight with eternal life. What a difference that this man, who would care for the prison guard, the man who had just gotten done beating them, that had seen them whipped and chained and thrown into the prison. No one would have blamed Paul and Silas for the attitude of, "Well, serves him right. He put us in here. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't deserve to be here. That was the man who'd hurt me. That was the one who'd beaten me. Who got what he deserved. He fell asleep." But no, Paul had compassion. This man needed the same thing that woman who was possessed needed. The same need that everybody in Philippi had. That was the need for Jesus Christ. Paul cared. He cared, even for the man who'd whipped him, who'd beat him, who'd thrown him in here. He cared. He saw the need, and he had compassion. And what a difference in this man's life, this Philippian jailer who hears this God that these men, they worship, a God that would love him, that would cause them to care enough about me to stay in the prison. "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Nobody's left. You haven't failed. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ." I think about in Japanese culture, the difference between the false gods of Shinto and the one true God. 8 million gods in Shintoism and none of them love you. But we serve the one true God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. I think back to our time there in Japan as my wife and I went to the largest Shinto temple there in Hokkaido. It's beautiful to look at. I was sharing several of the pictures. It's incredible, the architecture, the woodworking, the craftsmanship that went into this place it's truly, I don't understand how it works and still is standing under all that snow. But as beautiful as it is on the outside, it's not very beautiful on the inside. The emptiness of religious routine, going through the motions, washing their hands, just giving money, giving food, giving alcohol, clapping your hands, all the stuff that they're trained to do from the time they're little until they die. Even if they don't know what it means, but that's just what we do. I have a piece of wood on my table. It's called an ima. What it is something that you have to purchase in order to write your prayers on it. Then all your prayers will be hung up outside in kind of the courtyard of the temple and they'll be burned. The prayers will be sent up to the false gods. And if having to pay to pray wasn't heartbreaking, aren't you thankful you didn't have to pay to pray to come? Your pastor didn't take your credit card information on the way in before we had opening prayer. Well, that was heartbreaking enough. The saddest thing to me was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A Shinto priest came from kind of what they think of as the Holy of Holies type part of the temple, comes into the courtyard and stands by this large drum. And at 4 o'clock, he begins to pound on that drum. It's very loud. You can hear it through the courtyards and everything. And that signals for the doors to be shut, for everybody to leave, because now your access is closed. Your time's up. Hope you gave what you needed to. Hope you got your prayers in, because now you have to go home. Come back tomorrow. We're well past 4 o'clock tonight, and we're still here. Because what we have is not an empty religious routine. It's a personal relationship with the God who loved you so much that he sent his Son to die for each and every one of us. That's the difference that this man sees. All he's known is the false gods of Philippi. but these men sang about and prayed to the one true God who loved them, who cared about them, and told them to tell him. Sirs, how can I know this God? What must I do to be saved? You cared enough about me to stay, to stop me. How can I know this God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, and what a detail there, in thy house. Can you just imagine this man? If his house got saved, that means somebody went and told him. Can you imagine this husband, this dad, running home at maybe 1 o'clock in the morning? At this is, maybe it's just my imagining, but this is how I've always pictured. It's 1 a.m., he comes in, honey, wake up! His poor wife, what is wrong with you? It is 1 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't matter right now. Wake up the kids. You got to hear about the God that these guys have been telling me about. What could be more worthy to wake up your kids in the middle of the night than to get saved, to hear about Jesus Christ? This night of rejoicing, man, how different could it have been if Paul hadn't cared? Instead, this wife, this mother may have been woken up by a knock on her door in the morning. Ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your husband was found dead in the prison this morning. Doors were all open. The prisoners were all gone. It seems that he fell asleep and let them all get away. His own sword was through his chest. I'm sorry. Instead, they now have eternal life through Jesus Christ. What a victory that night. But it wouldn't have happened if Paul hadn't seen the need and had compassion. He cared. He cared. Do we care tonight? Do we care for the lost? Maybe you're even here tonight. There's never been a time and place in your life where, like this jailer, you saw the need and humbled yourself and called upon Christ as Savior. Will you trust in Him tonight? Let tonight be the night for you. Think about the difficulties Paul and Silas, what they faced there being in prison. Didn't matter the trial, the difficulty they were going through, that God was greater than that trial. He still can do incredible things even in the harshest of times. But truly tonight, do we care about the lost? We're so quick to get angry at that person who cuts us off in traffic. So quick to have a poor attitude toward those who have flags in their front yard that we don't agree with, who have a different political persuasion, different color of hair than what we like, different pins on their vest at Walmart that we don't really like. Do we see the need? Because that person that works with you, the cashiers at Walmart, that works at McDonald's, they all have the same need as this jailer. Paul recognized that what if it were him? Paul knew that he had that same need. That just as much as Christ loved Paul, he loved this Philippian jailer just as much. That just as much as Jesus loves you and died for you, He did the same thing for the people in Hokkaido. Do we have that compassion for the lost? I think to just that pattern we see through Jesus, even through the parables. I think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's what Jesus was trying to illustrate. The people that we would expect, the priest and the Levite, they saw the need, but they didn't care. They just kept walking. But the Samaritan, he not only saw the same need, he had compassion. He went and did something about it. In Acts chapter 17, a passage I also preach fairly frequently and enjoy preaching, as Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, his spirit is stirred in him when he sees the city wholly given to idolatry. He saw the need. And he didn't just wait in the hotel room for Timothy and Silas to come back. No, he went and preached. He saw the need, and he had compassion. He preached. Do you see the need tonight? Will you have compassion for the lost? because you never know who you might be talking to. Paul probably never thought that the man just earlier that day, or maybe a day or two before, had been beating him and thrown him into prison, that the Lord could do an incredible thing in his life and his family's life. Don't ever underestimate what God can do. But folks, tonight, as we kind of finish out the missions emphasis, missions doesn't only mean Japan or Sri Lanka, the Czech Republic. Means right outside those doors is the mission field. Well, we see the need and have compassion. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight that you've continued to use passages from the life of Paul to work in my life. Lord, I'm sure thankful that somebody had enough compassion on me to tell me how to be saved. Lord, if tonight there's somebody in here who's never had that time and place in their life where they trusted in Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that they would humble themselves, that they'd come forward and they'd get that settled, that they could know they're on their way to heaven. Lord, as this mission's emphasis time closes out, Lord, help us to go out into the world, to go out to the mission field, Lord, with a renewed passion for the lost. Lord, not even in just the organized door-knocking times, but Lord, just at work, at home, at the store and restaurants, Lord, everywhere we go, there's people who all have the same need. Lord, help us to see that need. And just like Paul, to care enough to tell them about the one true God who loved them so much that he gave. Lord, thank you tonight for your love. Thank you for the salvation we can have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. Lord, thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.